Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary in doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary.
Well, hello, welcome to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joel Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. I am so happy to have you aboard this morning. That call-in number is 310-982-4126. Again, you too can call into this program and voice your comments and encourage our guests to do what they do for the Lord. Again, that number is 310-982-4126. But before we bring our guest on, we'd just like to say hello. Our co-host is on the line right now, Brother Daniel. Good morning, Brother Daniel. And so we're going to bring him in here shortly. But we'd like to say hello to Beverly Beasley, the sponsor of our program. And she's the CEO of Granny's Place. Granny's Place is a nonprofit organization that's attempting to reach the needs of our at-risk teenagers. We have a website at grannyplace.org. Please take time to go out and visit that and be involved in changing a life. As you log on to this program, you'll see a template that says, help change a life. You know, that's what we're all about. And we're bringing artists on here that's using their gifting and their talents to change lives. Whether it's writing, or whether it's in performing art, or whether it's just singing, they're using their gift to glorify our Lord and our Savior, and perhaps to encourage someone else to follow their gifting and their talent to and do it all for the Lord. But without any further delay, I am so honored and pleased to have a musical team on here, Monique Miller and Cal, which is her manager. They're going to come on, and they're going to share what does says the Lord in their life concerning their musical talent. Good morning. You're on the net.
Good morning, Mr. Lewis. How are you doing?
Well, welcome aboard. Good morning. Thank you both for being a part of our weekly internet program. Please introduce yourself and tell us about your musical gifting.
Well, my name is Monique Miller, and I'm a gospel artist, a singer, songwriter, musician. I play the guitar and the keyboard, but when I go out and minister, I mainly play the guitar and sing. So kind of an acoustic set. And, you know, I just love the Lord, and I write songs, so a lot of the songs that I do are original songs, and a lot of them can be found on my CD as well.
And my name is Kyle Miller. I am Monique Miller's husband and also her manager. And basically what I do sound production. So anytime Monique goes out and sings, for the most part, I am her designated sound guy. We started a ministry called Gospel Jam back in 2009. And the premise of that was basically to give local artists in the Dallas-Fort Worth area just kind of a platform outside of church to minister. So kind of like where I met you at, Mr. Lewis, at the park, where there was an abundance of ministry outside at the park that reached the local neighborhood. Our gospel jam was something similar to that. Through that, I basically learned how to do sound production. It became a hobby, and it now is something that I do professionally now. I have my own company called KM Live Productions, and basically I provide professional sound to any type of event, for like musical events, speaking engagements, you know, wedding receptions, things of that nature. But I still operate under the same premise of excellence, giving all honor and glory to God, and basically just using my skills and talents to edify the body of Christ.
Amen. I would like to ask you a question. How did you two get involved in something like this? How did y'all come together and be able to do what you do?
Well, I met Monet actually all the way back in 2002. We were both in college. I did a internship in Austin, Texas, where Monet was living at the time, and we happened to be doing an internship at the same company. So when we met, we became really good friends and eventually started dating and then eventually got married in 2006. But when I met Monet, she was a worship leader at her church. And so when she invited me to church whenever I was in Austin, I got to see her perform, play for her church's band, also in various different choirs at her church. And so that's how I got interested in kind of the behind-the-scenes aspect of music. But Monet has basically been musically gifted and talented pretty much all her life. So for me, it became a hobby and then something that I started doing professionally, you know, once I got good enough to go that route.
All right. Now, Monet, I'm sitting up here looking at your website right now. Oh, what a beautiful website that you have. And I was playing a few of the selections that you have for the viewers to kind of, you know, tap in on. And let me ask you about these. So how did this come about here for me? I really enjoyed that one. What's the basis behind you writing that?
Oh, for me, I co-wrote that with a friend of mine named Quentin Moore. And it just talks about, you know, how God has done so much for us. And, you know, I just thought about, you know, he rose for us, he died for us, and, you know, we should give back to him as well. And so that song came out of that, and we put some music to it, got a little groove going, and that's where it came from for me.
I know they all are uplifting songs here. And this the second one said, "I'm on my way." I like that one. I mean, I think I like all of them. I just wanted to ask you about these here because as I read the title, they speak to me.
That's good. That was the whole plan. You know, "I'm on my way" is the name of my CD. And it's one of the first songs that I wrote. And it just talks about, you know, how God has a plan for you, and he lays out a path and everything, and sometimes there's obstacles, but, you know, if you just stay on that path and just say, "I'm on my way, get out of my way," you know, and stay on that path, then, you know, you'll get what God has ordained for you.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. Now, tell me, now, Monet, now, if a young lady or a young performer would like to get involved in this, in the gospel music industry, what are some of the things that they need to be aware of? And how do they get to where you are? You know, you're very gifted and talented, but yet you still have room to grow. And I'm saying that because in every facet of life, we're going to continue to grow. But how can a young person or even a person get involved in this and be true to what they set out to do?
Well, you know, if they have a God-given gift to sing or write or play music, then, you know, I encourage them to pursue that and get involved in their local church first. You know, I do believe in that platform. And you know, that's how I got started, is I was involved in my church first, and then as I started writing songs, I branched out and started singing outside of church. But for somebody that wants to break into the industry, you know, start with your local church, and then you can start networking with those people that put on events and do things outside of the church. And so continue to sharpen your craft as well in between those times where you don't have anything scheduled. and just continue to grow in the Lord and just continue to ask him, is this for me? You know, because it's not for everybody. I'll just say that. It's not for everybody. It's not easy work. Yeah, you got to be patient and understanding. And so everybody's not going to like you. So you have to have some thick skin as well. So, you know, I've just encouraged them to prepare themselves in that way.
And just to piggyback on that, and just to piggyback on that, Mr. Lewis, one thing that I really encourage up and young and upcoming artists to do is really to find your own niche. One thing that I notice is, especially in the gospel music industry, people tend to follow whatever the trend is, whatever the current hot trend is at the time. And I think for a lot of artists, it can take them out of kind of their own lane to try to sound and mimic whatever is, you know, currently hot in the gospel music industry at that point in time. But I think from what I've seen, musicians operate best when they operate in their own flow and in their own lane. And so kind of like with Monet, as you were listening to her CD, you know, her CD doesn't sound like anything traditional. It doesn't sound like, I think she has like one traditional song on there. But her style is her own. And, you know, it works for her. She doesn't try to mimic anybody. She doesn't try to sing like anybody. She's just, you know, using the natural gift and ability that she has to glorify God. So to all the young and upcoming artists, you know, just stay, you know, just find your flow, you know what that is, and operate in that. I think that's how you best operate, whether you're a quartet singer or a gospel rapper, you know, just stay in your own flow and use that talent to edify and uplift the body of Christ, because you have an audience you can reach, you know, if I know for like a lot of gospel rap artists, you know, people that listen to rap music, such as myself, you know, we probably won't get the message listening to Shirley Caesar, you know, and that's not to say anything's wrong with Shirley Caesar, you know what I mean? But
I know,
you know
what you're saying. Yeah.
I, but my thing is that, you know, even at the park, there was a lot of gospel rappers. I mean, that's an audience that they can reach, you know, so don't give up on that. I know gospel rap at one point was kind of a controversial thing, but it reaches a certain demographic. It reaches the young generation. And if we can get the message of Christ out to that young generation, I don't think it really matters the style or, you know, the particular sound. Because at the end of the day, whether it's traditional gospel, whether it's contemporary gospel, whether it's Christian rap, the message is still the same.
And that's so true. We have our co-host on the line here. I'm going to bring him in, Raymond. Thank you very much. You're listening to Kyle and Monique, Gospel Entertainers. They are sharing with us the challenges it is and also the joy it is of being a performer, and also what they are doing is to reaching those in music. We're going to bring Brother Daniel on here. Good morning, Brother Daniel. Good morning, Brother Daniel. Bringing Brother Daniel in here. Good morning, Brother Daniel.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're on the net. I guess it's on the line. So if you want to ask him a question or two, or just say hello to him.
Hey, how you doing? First, what city you say you come from?
We're currently in Dallas now. I'm originally from Houston, and Monet is originally from Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I heard you was talking about how most farmers try to follow a trend, or they try to, more basically, you know, most of these record companies, when they tell them, you know, they need a style, basically they can, you know, that they can sell a product with. And
right.
Basically tell them that they want them to be somebody that the public can identify with, and basically that thing is really selling records. So what I'm saying is, like, I'll give you a good example. You know, like, you remember how Kirk Franklin first started off. Now you got a whole lot of Kirk Franklin people, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I Kirk almost got the back seat. He really don't care about, I don't know, performer right now, because to me, it seems like they stole his style. And
yeah.
Basically, if you in this field, you basically have to accept being original, but at the same time, you have to be honest. You got to be able to conform with the surroundings. You know, you got to be versatile. You know, you got to be able to switch up and do new things and not be afraid to experiment in music. You know.
I agree, and I think it really goes back to what are you really doing it for? And because I know there's a lot of artists that really want to make it, you know, to a national platform. And, you know, so I think what they tend to do is mimic whatever is on the national platform as far as gospel music is concerned. And so, you know, like for Kirk Franklin, you know, Kirk Franklin's been going strong, you know, for, what, 25, almost 30 years. You know, his stuff is still being played, and he's basically used the same format, the same concept in all of his songs, depending on whatever group he's worked with. And that's been a successful format for him for, you know, almost 30 years. And so that's what people want to mimic, because they've seen Kirk Franklin have that national success and also have that longevity. You know, my thing is this, you know, everybody can't be Kirk Franklin. You know what I mean? Everybody can't have that national platform. I know a lot of artists aim for that, but, you know, and it all goes back to, you know, what God has in store for your life. You know, it's like, for preachers, you know, everybody can't be Bishop Jakes. You know what I mean? You know, everybody can't be a mega preacher. You know, sometimes, you know, God just only place like a small community to minister and worship to. So it really goes back to just looking in your heart and really understanding what are you really doing it for? Are you trying to make a career out of it, which is not a bad thing, make a national name for yourself, or are you really doing it to edify the body of Christ?
That is so true. So thank you, Brother Daniel, for that question. Do you have another one that you'd like to present? Just hold on, because our time is drawing near here. Okay, one more, and then we're going to let our guests in, close out this portion of our show.
One more question. What advice do you give to the up-and-coming artists? What advice do you give to them to start out and try to just survive in gospel music?
You know, I would say first thing first is keep God first. Remember why you're doing it, and, you know, don't stray from that, because there's going to be times where you're not booking shows, or people are not buying your CD and things like that. And so you just have to keep in mind, why am I here? Why am I doing this? And what is God's plan for my life? So, you know, I would encourage them to continue to network with other artists, see what they have coming up, and don't be too good to perform on a venue. So if it's a church musical or a coffee shop or, you know, somewhere in the park, you know, just be open to have another audience, another opportunity to minister to the Lord, and not be too good to take that show. And it's just another opportunity for you to get out there. You know, don't always expect that you're going to be playing for the House of Blues, or you're going to be headlining a national stage. Sometimes you have to start small, and eventually you'll get there.
Oh, that is great. That is well spoken. Now, as we get ready to wind down this program, I know that your husband and your manager just said that y'all just was at a venue the other night. Will you please share with our listening audience something that you're doing there and maybe some upcoming events so we can keep track of what's going on, because we want to encourage you to keep doing what you do.
Actually, we Monet ministered last night at a coffee shop in Fort Worth. And that was a really, really good event. There were several artists there, and Monet did an acoustic set. And we're also going to be ministering at a good friend of ours, Roy Pirtle. He's a minister of music at his church, and they're doing a music appreciation forum on tomorrow. So we'll be doing that. Monet is the minister of music at the Harvest, which is a church service that meets every second and fourth Sunday of every month at the south side of Lamar. The service starts at 11:30, usually goes from about 11:30 to 1 p.m., so every second and fourth Sunday, Monet Miller ministers, is the minister of music at a church called The Harvest. And you can also log on to her website, Monet Miller, MoneeMiller.com, and you can sign up for her email email list. And anytime she does an event, she'll send out an email blast. So that way you can always stay current on where she's at, what she's doing. And then also you can visit my website, kmliveproductions.com. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, and I update that periodically as far as events that I'm doing as well.
Oh, that's great. And also I'm looking at your flyer now. You can pick up some of Monet's music on the iTunes, download iTunes.
That is correct.
And let me tell you, she has some great selections, so I would encourage everyone to go out and purchase this.
Thank you. Thank you for your support. And, Mr. Lewis, we greatly appreciate you allowing us to be a part of your program and your platform. And, again, I just encourage all of your listeners, we're in this together. Regardless of what your skills and talents are, we all work together for the common goal of uplifting God, uplifting each other, encouraging each other, and also supporting each other. That's another thing, and not to get to not to derail your program, but just support each other regardless of what style of music that you do. Like I said, it's all the same message, and the common goal is to reach the lost, uplift those that are down, and encourage. And music is a universal language, and it reaches everybody, no matter what style. And so, to all the artists, just support each other. And even if you're not on program, if you know of an event, go out and support, because that's what's really going to encourage a lot of the local artists to keep moving forward with what they're doing. Because like Monet said, sometimes it gets discouraging. Sometimes it doesn't happen the way you think it should happen. But, support each other. Let's encourage one another. Mr. Lewis, continue to do what you're doing. And thank you again for allowing us to be a part of your show this morning.
Oh, thank you, and Monet. And we pray that everything goes well. And we're looking forward to seeing and hearing more of y'all. I met y'all at the outdoor event, and I was really blown away by the music and her professionalism. And she truly has spoken some words that she stands by to perform in every opportunity you get, whether it's big and small. And you said something, too, that I encourage our listening audience. Support other ministry. You don't always have to be up front. You can just be a servant, and God will open up doors for you. And I know that he's going to do some great things with y'all and with the thing that you put your hands to do. God bless you, and I'm going to be following you, and I pray that everyone else is able to keep up with you, and God get the glory.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much for being a guest on the program. You can always go back and listen to this program in its entirety at Blog Talk Radio, Granny's Place. And the name of the show is called Free on the Inside. And you have showed the freedom that comes from Christ either by doing what you do.
So amen. Thank you both. Thank you so much.
And you have a great weekend. Thank you, Monet. Thank you, Kyle, for being a guest on the program. God bless you both.
Yes. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Have a good day.
Amen. God bless you. Oh, what a great interview that we had there with the musical team. Now we had the gospel performer and her manager was online there. Amen. Good morning, Brother Daniel.
Good morning.
Good morning, bro. Oh, man, what a great interview we had there, man. I pray that you were able to get your questions all out to him.
Yeah, I asked him pretty much what I wanted to ask him.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how many husband and wife teams we have coming out now because, you know, I think sometimes ministry should be a family affair. It should be a husband and wife affair. You should basically enjoy what your spouse is doing, you should have the same calling on each with each other, you know.
Great. Yeah. And that is so true. I'm looking at their website now, man. They got a beautiful website, and if you have an opportunity, you need to go log on and check it out there. They got some beautiful photos, some sample of her music, and you can see her gift in there. And when I saw them at an outdoor event, and I truly was blessed. So if you have an opportunity, please log on to the site and get their music and share it with your friends and family. I know you're a musician and you like good music, so there's an opportunity for you to hear some artists coming up. I saw him at an outdoor event. Yes, I did. A couple of weeks ago, I was at another event. I'm going to one this evening. God allowed us to go to various places. We not only do ministry, but we support ministry. And Kyle said something that was very important. I mean, you have to support ministry. You don't want to be on you ain't got to always perform. And I say that, and I mean it, man. I go support other people. I'm going this evening and support some people. I'm part of ministries that's out of town, that's out of state, because I support those ministries, man. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah,
you know, because sometimes people wants to always feel like they got a word to say, and they may have a word to say, but sometimes you don't need to say that word at that time. You just need to be quiet and let God do the ministry. But we have another guest that's coming on. He's down near Houston. They're going to come on and share with us. He do a reentry program and work with offenders. He teaches at the prisons down in the Beaumont area And God have brought us together to be co-laborers in the ministry. He have men that are about ready to get out, and he need a network and some referral information so he can get those men properly placed so they can get back into society. They don't have to keep going through that revolving door, which is the justice system. And I know what he mean because I do a Bible study at the Hutchinson State Jail, and I see men time after time, Brother Daniel, they get out. And they come back in 3 months later, a month later, they right back again.
Exactly.
in the same cell at the same jail. And I said, brother, what happened? He said, man, I got out of there and I forgot about all the principles and all the precepts of God. And I did what I always done. And guess what? I got what I always got. Well, glory be to God that he don't give up on us, man. He don't give up on any of us.
Amen. Don't give up on nobody.
On nobody. We give up on people. And you know, Brother Daniel, I guess getting ready to come on, I do a lot of mentoring. And sometimes I tell people straight from the heart. And people get mad at me. But guess what? Somebody told me that. Somebody said, man, you gotta quit doing what you're doing. I ain't always done what I do now. Somebody had to tell me about myself. And I got mad. But I realized that they were telling the truth. I realized that I had to turn around. I got tired of being sick and tired, man. And so when I tell other guys that and they don't receive it, I just said, man, that was me at one time. I said, they'll be all right. You know?
Yeah, man.
Hey,
brother.
Brother, yes, sir. I sure did. Hey, we have our guest on the line here. He's calling in from out of town. This is Dave with Our God is Alive. He's going to come on. He's going to share some things. And I want you to kind of chime in on it, but we're going to allow him to go ahead and share because he made himself available. So we honor our guests, and we're looking forward to him being on here. And the next voice you'll hear will be Dave from Our God is Alive. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Brother Joel. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for coming aboard here. Welcome to our weekly internet program. And the name is Free on the Inside, Brother God. I love that, brother. Because you know what? God gave you that freedom to do what you do, man. I don't take that lightly, man.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Just glad to be a servant and try to participate in the kingdom building process of our God.
Bring us up to date on where you're at in the ministry and reintroduce our listening audience to your ministry that God have blessed you and other members to be a part of.
Well, we're calling in on behalf of Our God is Alive. It was has been and is being spearheaded by my father, Reverend John Vaughn, with some of our friends there in the Dallas area, Eric Pinnick, as well as Mike Clark, and then some hosts of friends that he has there. We're just continuing to teach financial principles, spiritual boot camp, as well as making peace with your past, and continuing to go out three Sundays out of the month at the Richard P. LeBlanc unit, trying to help our young men come back home and be all that God has called them to be, even in times such as this. So we're really excited about the opportunity. This past week, we had a revival. We had Pastor Oscar Dean from the San Antonio area. And, Joel, this is an awesome blessing. Oscar Dean was at the LeBlanc unit 5 years ago, and Oscar came back and he shared the prodigal son with the guys. And on his clothes, Oscar shared with them, within 5 years, God allowed him to come back into the city of San Antonio, be allowed to not only be in a church, but to have a relationship with the pastor whereby the pastor got sick. And they made Oscar the pastor of that church. And that church has grown from 45 members to roughly 175 members there in the San Antonio area, and it was an awesome move of God to see him come in and participate. And a lot of the guys going back to San Antonio got his name, and they were just glad to see him. And it's all the guys are always glad when they see out ministers or people from the free world come in and take time and share with them their conviction concerning Jesus Christ. So it was an awesome time. My brother, who has some different principles, but begins to talk about teaching from the Old Testament. He came in and he rocked the house, and then we had a local pastor by the name of Delbert Mack and the Cathedral of Faith group. He came in, and they're part of our team there at the LeBlanc unit, and he came in on the last night and set the place on fire. So we are having an awesome time. One of the things that we're doing now, Joel, and you know this, I am now reaching out throughout the state trying to make sure that we are finding good placements and working with reentry teams to be able to help our guys come home at one time. And I know somebody's probably listening to this saying, well, if you're doing all this, don't you think you might be enabling them? Well, I will say the answer is no, simply because the body of Christ has to help the body of Christ. And
amen.
Sometimes guys will see homes and different places on the list and have no contact, and then they'll go to a particular place and the services being rendered won't be helpful for them to stay out. And then sometimes the places, for whatever reason, don't meet their needs, and guys and ladies come back. So therefore, if we can put a network, if the body of Christ can put a network together of people who share their conviction about Christ and why they're doing what they're doing and how they're helping, then we can make a difference here. And at least from the LeBlanc unit, I can send you guys that I know that have gone through class, that have studied, and they're saying that they're serious about staying out and doing what God has called them to do.
Oh, that is so true. That's so true. I'm receiving some of the correspondence from the men, and I read their letters, and I see that they have a desire to do the right thing, but they need information. And that's what we'll thank God that we're a source of information. And we're not only the only source, but we add it to what they already have. Because I feel like the one plants and one waters, but God gives the increase. So my hat goes off to you and your ministry team and me being a part of the ministry team to help change the lives of men and women that's incarcerated.
Yes, sir. And we appreciate your help there in the doubt, however it is that you begin, that you're helping us. Whether you're allowing the guys to come out and work with you on the street ministry team, whether you're pointing them to Reentry Dallas. In fact, Joe, a guy talked to me last night and was saying that he had reached out to you guys and that he's waiting to hear. But I said, don't worry. They're going to take care of you, and we're going to get you some good information and get you a name and get you into an organization that's going to be able to help you. So, I mean, that's the key thing, to try to give the guys hope. It's bad enough. They're already fearful of the fact that they're going to be going back home or back to society in the next 6 to 8 months, and they want to be partnered with an organization that they feel that's going to be able to help them. And that's what we're trying to.
And that's so true. And I've talked to people that I do ministry. I've been doing this for a number of years, and a lot of the ministry developed because I had a need, and I was involved in these things. And I used to cry out to God, God, why you allow me to go through this? Why I have to live homeless? And why I had to live in a shelter? Why I had to work at a labor service? Why did I have to go through this and that? And now I've realized that God allowed me to do that because as someone had encouraged me to be strong in the Lord, and when I'm restored to strengthen my brother, I can look back and say, man, I know a place that can help you. And they said, I don't know. I said, well, I know a person that helped, and I know a place you can go. It's a safe place. And how do you know? I knew a person like that, you know. And so, you know, we all don't have to go through those things, but we all should be armed with information. I can't feed a man time after time, but I know organizations and programs that teach a man how to feed himself, you know. So we have to be able to point them in that direction.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's really strange as to how the Lord allows us to put this link together, because you have lots of services out there. We just have to try to figure out how it is the Lord is going to allow us to be able to partner together to make ourselves available to the men and women that need their services. So, you know, that's the key thing. I think more people ought to be excited about finding ministry opportunities in terms of being able to help this particular population, or whatever you feel that God is putting on your heart, that you might be able to reach out and help people, because it's just the time and we need it. So many people are lost and so many people are hurting, and so our guys are coming home back into this environment, and we've got to be able to try and strengthen them. We've got to have churches, we've got to have ministries that are open and receptive to help these guys as well as help their families. And we need to have a cohesive voice. I mean, we just got to have one cohesive voice where we're saying, we want you to do better. We want you to know how to manage your money. We want you to be a disciple of what it is you believe. And then we want you to make sure that you're making peace with your past. Don't be angry about why you are the way you are or how you got here. Just let the past be the past. Move forward in the name of Jesus and do better with your family and your life. And, you know.
Oh, that's so true.
I don't know, Joel, I'm saddened to say, I don't know that we have a comprehensive voice from church to church. I fear that we may be sending men home that are studying these things, but the church that they attend is not teaching these. So now what I'm doing with the help of the Lord is some of the guys are giving me names of churches and ministries that they heard about while they were in, and then actually calling these pastors and ministers and saying, hey, would you guys consider teaching these classes so that, you know, we have a voice. I mean, you know, you got to have a voice. So, you know, it's one thing to preach about tithes, but it's another thing to teach a man how to manage his money so that he knows that tithing is part of that.
And that is so true, Dave. It's a twofold thing.
Yes, sir. And I'm being very careful about how I say that. And I'm not talking bad about anything or anybody. It's just the way that the system is set up.
Yeah, and you know, Dave, and I learned through my time and through studying the gospel that God wants us to be concerned about His people and our brother. You know, Jesus was asked one time, which is the greatest love? He said, love God all your heart, then love your brother as yourself. David, a great man, a man that knew how to make things happen, but he had a heart of God. And he was down in a place called Ziklag, and he lost his property. But in the pursuit of his property, and he met someone along the side of the road, and he stopped to help someone. I love that, brother, because as we've been restored and we come into a right relationship with God, we start pursuing the things of God. But along that life journey, there's people that God going to put in our path for us to stop and encourage. We get so caught up pursuing the things of God, we're not concerned about the people of God. And that's why I love this ministry. That's why I love what you're trying to do and what you are doing. Our God is alive. We got to show that our God is alive. He ain't just a jailhouse God. He ain't just a Sunday God. He lives every day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you're so right. We have to make that message come alive. We have to make that message come alive. You have to show that fire of God and His presence in you is just burning. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You can't be so bogged down by whatever our issues are that we fail to let that light shine. And that's what we're about. We're trying to help guys just turn their lights on, get help, and then as well be a help. You know, that's where you start to feel good about being a part of something, being a part of what God is about, because you're able to give back to others the love that was shown to you. And that's what we ultimately want to try to be about.
That's what about. Dave, we're going to pause here for a second, give out our call-in number. That number is 310-982-4126. You, too, can call in and join in the conversation and give Dave's words of encouragement, maybe even ask some questions. We have a call on the line here, Brother Daniel. He's going to come right in, and he's going to chime in on the conversation. But, Dave, I wanted you to, before we let Brother Daniel come on, tell us where you're located at and give us some, in the brief words as possible, how you're structured on your class activities at the jail.
All right. We are located at the Richard P. LeBlanc unit here in Beaumont, Texas. On Tuesday night, we have Making Peace with Your Past. We have Bible Boot Camp. And then on Wednesday, we have Financial Principles. And then on Sunday, we're there for worship service, first Sunday, third Sunday, and fourth Sunday. And so we're just excited to be doing what God has taught us to do.
Hey, man, God bless you. We're going to bring our guest in here, and he's going to may have a few words. Good morning, Mr. Daniel.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. We have our guest on the line. Would you like to say something to him?
Hey, how you doing, Brother Dave?
Good morning, Brother Daniels. How you been?
I'm doing all right today. Good, good. I'm getting ready, sir. I'm trying to write a paper about the statistical stats for reentry in the Dallas, Fort Worth, just the Southwest region of how many men seem to just mess up? You know, what are some of the figures, you know?
Daniels, I don't know what TDC has in terms of their figures. Thanks to Joel, we're able to partner, I guess, with Reintegration Dallas, and I think if you're looking for stats in terms of recidivism, that would probably be a good place to start, or you might be able to get in contact with a group out of Huntsville to mm-hmm. find out what the recidivism rate is. I understand that from the LeBlanc unit, based on what our chaplain has been able to discuss with us, that our God is alive has reduced that amount tremendously versus, I say tremendously because I don't have the exact figures, but I do know that he's saying that once we track their TDC day number for 3, 6, 12 months, we're seeing a a reduced number of guys from our system come in. Now, that recidivism number is kind of deceiving. And, yes, sir, because sometimes, Daniels, we assume that the people that we minister to are the ones that are always recidivating, but that's not necessarily true. And based on a gang report that I saw that was printed in April, there are other ethnic groups that have recidivism rates that are a lot higher than the African-American population. And I fear we may not be reaching them, and so we have to reach out to our Hispanic ministries as well. So, I mean, that's another component that we never talk about, but you have to dig down to find that because no chaplain is going to tell you that off the rip.
Well, when you're saying diversity, you have to go into different ethnic backgrounds and ethnic divisions of men. And you got Asian, you got Hispanic, you got Black, and now you got probably even got Chinese people, you know, in the deal now, you know. So
yes, sir. So yeah, because I was looking at a gang task report, and it was showing that the Hispanic gangs have the largest populations in incarcerated at this point. And we have to make sure that we're partnering with those ministries to reach those guys.
Amen. Yeah, you asked my question. Thank you very much. And I look forward to getting with you one day and asking some questions. So can you kind of leave me your number or your address?
Yes, sir. Let me go ahead and give that to you now. My 1-800 number is 855-652-2162. Again, that's 855-652-2162. If I don't answer, leave a message and leave your number and a message, and I'll get back to you. If you would like to email me, I can be reached at ourgodisalive.org. And so if you fill out the contact information, I'll get it, and I'll shoot you an email. Again, that's ourgodisalive.org.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Lewis.
All right. Thank you, Brother Dave. We'll put you on hold and continue to listen to this conversation that we're having with Dave. Now, Dave, as we go further into this here, conversation regarding our brothers that are re-entering society. We know they have many, many challenges, and they share with you one-on-one the things that they are fearful of. Give us an insight on some things that the guys are concerned with once they get out. And we know what they are, but how would our listening audience to know what they are?
Well, one of the first things, obviously, that they're concerned about is job placement. Let me back up. The first thing is always going to be housing. It's going to be quality housing, housing where he can come out and continue to learn and then still have the opportunity to grow. Again, the guys have been away from home. They've been out of general population. They don't know. I mean, I'm a grown man. I come home, and my granddaughter can operate a phone, and she's playing games on it, and I don't even know how to dial on it. But because I'm the senior in the room, I don't want to ask the question because I don't want to appear like I don't know. And that's the major issue, is to be able to come home and then to be able to communicate. Also, to be able to break the TDCJ communication and be able to communicate with their family in a decent manner. You know, that's one of the things that they're fearful of. They don't actually talk about it. And then again, ultimately, is to be able to find a job that they might be able to take care of whatever their financial needs, whether that's back child support or whether that's parole fees. But those are the things that we've been hearing and that they've been talking about.
You know, Dave, I talk to guys, and I'm very aware of the mandated structure that the guys get out once they're on probation or whatever it may be, about trying to stay in compliance with the rules that have been set for. And I see a lot of guys are just being burdened down with those things. Are you working with some kind of legal system or something to kind of help these guys navigate through these things so they don't get that one time and they're out? Or what can we do as a ministry, as society, to kind of work on some of the law that tend to be a big hindrance to men's recovery?
Well, one of the things that we've got going on is I've got a good a guy that came home by the name of Derek. Can't think of Derek's last name now, but Derek actually has insight to talk to some of the legislative people there in Huntsville as regards to talking about education, and I can give Derek a call and begin to talk to him about how it is we begin to put a voice together to be able to talk about how it is we can help. Now, I want to be careful, though, because, you know, everybody, once we begin to change, if you begin to change the legislation, then you open the door for guys who are not necessarily serious about what it is they, what they say that they're going to do.
Right.
Sadly, we do have guys that, you know, that get out and they game the system, misrepresent themselves, and try to make it seem like they're just on the right track. And as soon as they get out, 2 months after they're out, they're right back in. But on those guys, and I don't know how, you know, I don't know how we put something together to be able to judge it. Maybe it's a, what is that system called? It's a, the TDCJ offers guys a, a survey. I can't think of, for lack of a better term, I'm going to use the word survey. They give them a survey when they first get in, and then they give them the survey again just before they get out to find out if they've learned anything, if any of their attitudes have changed. And I believe that it would have to come from doing a survey like that to find out if people's attitudes have changed, whether or not they should be allowed to function and move around. Because I've seen guys, as you stated, with that monitor, and they got a call when they go out. They got a call when they come back in. They can't be away from their assigned place with the monitor on. And if they are, they live under the threat of going back. Had one guy, he didn't have anything. They sent him to the place where he resides. And in order for him to walk out that door, he had to let his PO know that he was going to be leaving. And then he had to let his PO know he was going to come back. And then he had to try to call and set up his ride to be in the times. And if he was 5 minutes late, you know, she was threatening to bring him back. And, you know, it becomes an issue. But, Joe, the other thing to that, you know, kind of like Jay Iris, you know, that he went and he sought out Jesus because his daughter was dying. And on the way bringing Jesus back home, his need is interrupted because the girl with the issue of blood shows up. It touches Jesus with him. She's healed. But as you can see, as the Irish is trying to get Jesus to his house, he has to stop. And one of the things that where I'm going is sometimes God has to allow us to just wait. And though things are happening and though things are changing, they may not happen just like we want them to happen. And sometimes we just have to just wait because it's just not our turn just yet. And so, you know, I understand both sides of it. I understand our guys coming home and wanting to get out and go and do, but I also understand that there's some things that that's just got to be worked out of them just through time. And that is to
and
understand
that's so
that, you know, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And
you
that's
don't
true.
Always go
and I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that because we realize these things as a process. And we try to teach our men on our end to be patient and wait on the Lord. That don't mean to just wait. That means to let God move in his time. You know, things, it takes a while to get, you know, to get your life back together. It takes a while to get your finances back together. But in order to get those back together, you need to be structured. You need to have some things in place. And, you know, I do a mentoring class. I do a course called Managing Your Discomfort. How do you go about it? It's kind of like anger management, but we use biblical terms in it, you know. And we just talks about how do you manage the difficulties of life, you know, the setbacks, right. The frustration. I had a young man that He was in a recovery program, and they was allowing him to go out. He was working, and he had a relapse because his wife, that they were separated, his wife and his family didn't want him to come over that weekend. He had got his little check, and he thought he was doing good, but he was still in a rehab, and he had a relapse. He called his wife up, and she said, no, don't come over here. And then 2 hours later, his wife called back and said, hey, won't you come on over and see the kid? And he said he could not answer that call because he was in the midst of his addiction. He had spent his money. And I said, see, if you would have just waited 2 hours, it would have made a difference. And I said, now you need to do these things here to try to get your own respect back and let your wife know that you can handle yourself. Start dating her. Don't be forceful. Go and do what you need to do and let her do what she need to do. And eventually, if it be God's will, y'all come back together. And sure enough, God brought those two back together. He said, man, I'm glad
Amen.
That you sit down and you talk to me. You told me to wait. You told me to approach it a different way, but approach it God's way. And it worked out. And that's,
yes,
same,
sir.
And that's the same take you take on jobs and things that you want to do, man. Let God work it out. Because, David, what a frustration to see that how we mess things up when we could have just waited on God, on job opportunities and relationships.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I think we all battle that, and we all try to move too soon. I think we're all learning to pace ourselves based on God's timing. I mean, because we just
yes.
never know, and so that's critical. Because in our mind, we want it to happen. We've got a plan. We've been praying. We've been seeking. We've been what we consider waiting. But as the preacher pointed out to us the other day, Moses' deal was 40 years. Moses was 40 before he...
Guess what, Joshua?
I mean, that's a long
like Joshua,
time to wait.
Joshua waited a long time. You know, God approached Joshua, and, you know, Joshua... And I love that obedience, man. Joshua said, we could go over there, but I'm going to wait on the man of God. I'm going to wait on God's instructions. And, you know, and it was a blessing in that. And God said, hey, I'm going to keep you just like you was when you first went over there. You still going to be strong, your eyesight, you know, so...
Yes,
we have to wait. Dave, I tell you what, man, this has been a great conversation. We're going to get you back on here to keep us up to date on what's going on with our God of the Life ministry, and we thank God for what you're doing. And continue to encourage the brothers on that end, and we'll do what we can on this end.
Hey, thank you, Joe. God bless and God keep. We'll continue to keep the guys listening in prayer.
All right, God bless you. Thank you very much. Amen. You've been listening
Amen.
To Dave from the LeBlanc unit down there. He's teaching and encouraging. He do... Some life skill courses down there. So we want to thank him for what he's doing, and we want to continually to encourage our brothers that are being reintroduced to society. Amen. Thank you, Dave, for what you're doing. And as we're ready to close out this program, we have Brother Daniel on here. Brother Daniel.
Yeah, that's some good info you just gave out, Reverend Lewis.
Yeah, there was some good information there. And hopefully it's able for you to get some information to do your research on the recidivism rate of men coming back into the jail and what we can do to kind of alleviate that matter. And you know what? When we first started this program over a few years ago, you sent me some great information, and you were putting it on our other website, the Trinity Jail and Prison Ministry Facebook page.
Yeah.
So I still have that information. It's still available.
I got a couple of stats, but you know, like the state of Texas is kind of slow in, you know, comparing all these facts, because I think they do it every 12 years. In order to do this, that's a long span of keeping up with figures and facts, and things change, Reverend Lewis. You know, people change and things change, the economy change. It seems like the presidency change, you know, and all doing all these different changes. You know, people are still suffering.
Yeah. Brother Dave, we're getting ready to get on out of here. I know what you're saying, right? I tell you what, we're going to follow up on this conversation at a later date. We have some great guests
on this morning.
You know, we had the musical team. Now they came on and they shared. Then we had Dave, and he came on and he shared. Man, I'm so great. Man, you know what? We've got some information. We have some people that comes on here, man, that are very gifted and talented, man, people that are making difference, people that are help changing lives, brother.
Hey, man, you got to shoot me a copy of that CD. Did she give you a CD?
No, she didn't, but you can go to the website. She got some songs. You have 5 songs on there that you can play them in its entirety. And
okay,
if you like them,
right,
you can buy them and download them to your phone. So It got a beautiful website, so you have to go there and see Monique Miller. And I saw her at an outdoor event similar to what we had a couple of weeks ago at our revival. So she's very serious about her music. Brother Danny, we're getting ready to get out of here. Man, I want to thank you for being a co-host on the program. Brother, you make the show what it is, you know. And I thank you for coming on and sharing your questions to our listening audience and engaging with our guests, man, because as I'm listening, man, I'm saying, wow, man, I should have asked that. You know what you do? You be right on time.
Yeah.
So it's enough because, all of Brother Daniel, close us out with a word of prayer, brother. Because God want to hear from you, too.
Okay. Heavenly Father, help us today to daughter our steps. Give us instruction and learn us and teach us by instruction. Teach us to hear your word through the word of music, speech, and sound. Because we know that before you can come back, the word of God has to be known all around the world before you come back. And I feel that's not long. So, prayers, oh Lord, the prayers for that day, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Till next week, be safe in the Lord. Amen. You'll listen to Free on the Inside. Amen. God bless you. Amen.